First morning session, evaluation of disease resistance in cotton plants with reduced levels of methylated phytoalexins. Tanya Wagner, USDA College Station.
Good morning. All right, so cotton makes toxic chemicals that protect it from insects, and we've always believed also from fungal pathogens. And these are parts of the gossypal pathway. And so people in our group have identified, let me see if I can work the mouse. Okay, I can't, so I'm just going to do it right here. So cotton makes these compounds, and this oxyhemigossypol is one of the first compounds made for gossypol, and it can be methylated to this oxyhemigossypol 6-methyl ether. And again, you make hemigossypol, the methylated compound can make the methylated hemigossypol. And then again, those would then feed into gossypol. And so previous studies have shown that the methylated compounds are less toxic than the unmethylated compounds. And the order is shown in the center of the slide. And then also, some species produce more methylated compounds than others and produce it in other parts of the plants, like leaves, for instance. So Sturdianum and Raimundi have methylated compounds in the leaves. And if you can cross that into Hirsutum, you can increase disease susceptibility. Hirsutum, on the other hand, only has methylated compounds in the roots. And then it's also been seen in the diseased steel, never detected in the leaves. But what we were thinking here is we were trying to find novel ways to protect cotton from root pathogens. And so we thought if we could actually engineer there to be less methylation in the roots, we would make a better mixture of the gossypal compounds in the roots to prevent root pathogens. Okay, so we introduced an RNAi construct into coker, and indeed, we reduced methylation in the roots 95%. Okay. And this just shows the original transformants that were obtained. I call these the T0 plants, and these are healthy roots from those plants. And down at the bottom, you can see that the methylation has been reduced. Actually, it's not the very bottom, it's the second line to the bottom. Almost to zero in some cases. No methylation was seen. And the lines in blue are the ones that were pursued. So for those blue lines, those are heritable lines. I'm so sorry. I shake too badly. this just shows the segregation. We introduced the RNAi, and it segregates in the it's heritable, it segregates. And you can see plants that contain the RNAi transgene have no methylation, very low levels of methylation in those roots. This is a northern blot that shows two lines, the 7B line, and it's the 7J line that's a back cross. Coker just has lots of problems, so I always try to cross them into something that looks a little better. And so basically, if I have an RNAi plant, I've reduced the methylation. The enzyme message is not detected, and the methylation isn't detected. So, you know, I finally was able to bulk up homozygous seed. The 7B line was the first one that I did that for, and we were very curious to go ahead and test it. And so that's what I'm going to be showing you now. We're particularly interested in race 4. Everybody wanted to know what's going to happen with race 4. So that's why we did a soil drench assay. Okay, so the results are not very good for the RNAi line. Basically, we have three different race 4 pathogens that we tested. They are all vegetatively competent together, so they form one group. California 9 is the most virulent California isolate, and then there's a moderately virulent and a very less virulent strain. PMS7 is the susceptible control for race 4. And what you can see in the dark blue line is that PMS7 is pretty much killed by California 9. And the RNA line and its wild type sibling are moderately affected, but they're affected equally. And that's hirsutum. You're seeing kind of a hirsutum difference in the race 4 pathogen. So all of our measures are not significantly different between the RNAi line and the wild type. So then we're kind of like, okay, we did the experiment, what now? We're not seeing a difference with the methylation. So if you look at the healthy roots, so these are unaffected, uninfected plants, what you can see is, there it is. Okay, so you can see that we have the reduction in methylation, but we also have only half of the amount of sesquiterpenoids in those roots. So we do not have the full complement of sesquiterpenoids, and we really don't have we don't have more of the unmethylated. So, you know, we had really always hoped that if you dropped the methylation, you were going to increase the unmethylated compounds. We would build up DHG. That was always our dream. And it doesn't seem that that happened. That happens in the healthy roots. So we're like, okay, can we see if we induce it? What happens under induction? You know, is there ever a time when we induce and get more buildup of DHG? So we went ahead and did a stem inoculation with a race 1 isolate to see the induction of these compounds in a tissue that normally doesn't have any. So controls would be totally blank. And what we saw, unfortunately, is that There's really no methylation, even in the wild type. So there was no this tissue, the stem, is not a good tissue to look at the methylation. And there was no difference in disease as well. But there is an increase. You can see that DHG is the particular one that we're looking for. And I don't know if I can actually get my... So it's not being built up in the RNAi, but it's there. They're induced. These are the two of the lines. So for the race 4, really, really cannot go ahead and isolate roots that are infected because I'm afraid of spreading race 4 in Texas, and I don't want to be that person. But I have done a lot of root tip assays with race 1, FOV11, in the past for previous experiments. And so I went back and looked at wild-type plants that I have done extensive root dipping on and looked at the induction of the roots, these compounds in the roots. And what you can see here is that 3 weeks after inoculation, you do see an induction in DHG between FOV-treated and mock in two different wild-type plants here. You can see that the gossypals are at large amounts in the roots. And you see here, I went ahead and calculated the nanomoles of these compounds to see methylation. And what you can see here is that you don't see an increase in methylation or a decrease. That basically, I've done so many root dips, and I see a different amount of methylation in every experiment. So in this case, the 7-3 wild-type line had reduced methylation after FOV11, 3 weeks after inoculation, and it had less sesquiterpenoids, whereas you really don't see any difference in the 85 wild-type line that was run at the same time. And I've done other experiments where I've seen it reversed for 73, seen it the same. But what I might always be seeing is that there is some sort of feedback with the methylation, that if you do reduce methylation, you reduce the total amount of these defense compounds. The other thing that we started to think a little bit more is, we lost half of the total gossypal compounds in the roots with our methylation. And we're losing a lot of, even though they're methylated, some of those compounds are still active against conidia. And so I have retested the compound DMHG, and it's still toxic in the amounts that it's normally produced. And my numbers agree with the previous calculations. So where am I with this? I think overall, I presented only for one line with the race 4, and I don't know if I'll continue with race 4, but even though it's going to be a negative result, I'll just confirm with all my lines the pathogen response for the low methylation trait. But I think there is more of a story in terms of the feedback regulation between methylation and the other compounds. And that's probably an area where I'd be more interested to see how that feeds back. Oh, wait, let's see. I've got people to thank. So, and I'll be up.
Time for questions.